Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out, say we want Glazers out. Manchester United, we're back in action yesterday. This is a Sunday morning record for this podcast. And they won by 3-2 against Burnley. A strange game in regards of United did deserve to win over the overall period of the game. But they got away with one, basically, towards the end of the match with a late penalty from, yes, Bruno Fernandes. And I think Manchester United fans are probably thinking in their heads, I'm happy he put today's penalty away and missed the one against Fulham, because today's was absolutely huge. Fulham's was important, but it was early in the game and you don't know what happens after that. But this was a goal, that massive, massive victory. A big win for the club, a big win for the manager. I mean, you would hope it's a big win for the players, but you never know with the way these players are and they're basically the weak mentality, and that the weak mentality showed today with just some allowing Burnley to get themselves back into the game and little things like just giving Burnley, you know, you get yourself, you're in control, you're a goal up, but Burnley were still always thinking they were in the game, but you've got to shut them out by getting the second or the third. And in the first half, you know, it should have been at least minimum 2-0 up. Could have easily been 3 or 4, the opportunities that they had. Dubravka was doing the things that I think that he did. I think it was his first match against United in when he played for Newcastle. He had made some excellent saves, and I think it was a Newcastle victory, I can't say for sure, but he definitely stopped Man United winning that game. He played for Man United for a short period of time, and his loan, it didn't work out very well at all. His loan was cut short, but he made some saves from Mbeumo, who had an excellent game. Mbeumo then was put through and had a shot that sort of just went past the post. I mean, he'll be disappointed because I think he would have wanted it to be on target. United eventually took the lead. It was an own goal in the end. I think it was Cullen that it was the own goal. But I mean, the stupid thing about that was Casemiro had a free header right in front of goal, about six, you know, between the six yard line and the penalty spot, and he headed it against the bar, but then it hit Cullen and then went in over the line. I mean, Dubravka even got to that, but thankfully for the referee's watch. But then opportunities came then. I mean, a lovely little breakout from United involved Ahmad, Xerxes and Mbeumo. Ahmad blasted over. Xerxes had a great opportunity right at the end of the half. For some reason, I don't know what he was doing, and then he tried to claim he was fouled. He wasn't fouled, it was poor. I mean, so it was poor finishing. He isn't a striker, we know that. I mean, question marks, you know, in regards to the substitution of Xerxes coming on, because Cunha got injured, and then you would think, well, bring on Sesko. Sesko didn't start, but he brought on Xerxes, which was strange. I mean, I should say what the team news was. Bayern Deer was back in goal. The back three was Yoro, De Ligt and Luke Shaw. Then the wide players were Ahmad on the right, Dallo on the left. We'll talk about Dallo in a bit. Then it was Fernandes and Casemiro with the starting was Cunha, Mason Mount and Brian Mbeumo. As I say, Cunha got injured. He was playing he was playing through the middle. You would have thought, bring Sesko on. But he didn't. He brought on Xerxes. So that is a question mark. You've got to try and get, you know, Sesko needs to be integrated within this team. He does need to be integrated. He spent a lot of money on him. He chose Man United. So he needs to be integrated. And you would hope that the opportunities that after the international break, he's got to be starting through the middle, and obviously there's gaps now, and we'll come to them. As I say, Kuna went off, Mason Mount didn't show up after half time, so he's probably been one of our better players. I've said on this pod, when Mason Mount's one of your better players, you've got problems compared to the others. It's like when you had youngsters running the show all the time. You need to have other players stepping up to play. But Mason Mount has had a good start to the season, but it looks like he's injured again. What is the point? So, you know, what? There's no point in having 2 or 3 good games and getting injured again. So we'll see what happens there. The man just spoke about the fact that Mount had 30 minutes playing with an injury, and there was a penalty incident that was given to United, but then turned around because Mason Mount was holding on to Kyle Walker's shirt. I've watched it back now. If that's the reason, then Scott Parker can shut the F up about the penalty that was given at the end, and we'll talk about that later. I wonder what he said about that one then. but So at half-time came on Kobbie Mainoo, who wants to leave Man United on loan. They've said no. So apparently he's asked to get a mock if that's true. But for me, if you want to leave Man United, why don't you put in the transfer request? This is the point. As I say, for me, Kobbie Mainoo should be staying. People will say, well, his career's going to go nowhere. Well, we'll have to wait and see. But Manchester United, he's got a contract. So I think he stays in it. And the manager has said he's given opportunities. I don't think the manager's right to say he's vying with Bruno Fernandes when Bruno Fernandes is never dropped. I mean, you as a player, you're going to think, well, I'm never going to play, am I? Or never going to start a game unless there's injuries. But there are some injuries now, and we'll see what opportunity that brings. Into the second half, fair play to Burnley. They stepped it up a little bit. I mean, United should have been only a goal up. They should have been more than a goal up at that stage. And then some poor defending from Dalot on the left-hand side. Although I think there was, looking at the replays, a bit of a miscommunication with De Ligt and Dalot, because he had far too much time. Did Goodmanson, and he's very good with right foot crossing. Lyle Foster completely clear in the middle. So I don't know what was going on there, and that was the equaliser. United did lose a little bit of control. They did miss, dare I say it, Mason Mount. They lost a little bit of control in that area because Bruno Fernandes moved into a 10, and then Casemiro and Kobbie Mainoo. But basically, straight for the kickoff, United went further forward. Long ball from Bandier, flicked on from Xerxes. Dalot, the one thing that he did do well, he drove into the box and an intelligent ball into Brandon Boomer, who drilled it low into the back of the net. The manager just shook his head. And I'm not surprised, because at that time, I was just thinking, what are we doing? How is it 1-1? Then we go straight up to make it 2-1. But in my mind, I was like, this isn't over. Lyle Foster got in again, but he was offside. I mean, Dalot thumbs up to the linesman as if he knew it was offside. It was only just offside. United got away with one there. And again, it was from a giveaway ball as well in the middle of the pitch. Absolute shambles. But then Burnley's equaliser, an absolute joke. Casemiro, a shocking ball, which led to Yoro not being able, which led to Yoro actually having been forced to give a throw-in away, long ball in, the flick on, which Casemiro missed. I don't know what, I was right behind it, I don't know what he was doing, didn't even bother jumping until it was far too late. It was awful defending, a drilled shot in, Bandier tried to catch it, he let it go, then it went to Antony, and this is the better Antony, not the Antony that and Betis trying to force way out. Do you know what, Antony, Man United's Antony, if you want to go, you're going to have to take a pay cut, it's as simple as that. Kobbie Mainoo tried to clear it, but he didn't have time to react quick enough, and then in off by Ndia, who tried to scoop it back over the line when it was already miles over the line. An absolute awful goal to give away. Poor defending, just shambolic in the box, poor goalkeeping. But again, why have United not bought a goalkeeper when it's been known since the start of the year they've needed a goalkeeper? It's absolutely criminal that hasn't happened. After that, Burnley sort of set themselves in. United, Sesko did come on. There was a cross from Dalot, which Sesko got his head on, but unfortunately headed it wide. But then in the last moments of the game, actually Antony was poor, Burnley's Antony. It was actually a poor decision to grab hold, because you're not sure what Ahmad's going to do. But the thing is, you grab hold of his shirt and, you know, Ahmad, he made sure that he got to the edge of the box before he went down. His shirt was pulled, just like the reason that they didn't give Mason Mount's penalty over Kyle Walker was because of the shirt pull. This shirt pull happened as well. It was a penalty. If Mason Mount was penalised for that and the penalty not given in the first half, then Antony has to be penalised for that in regards of consistency. Scott Parker blitting on the most sterile game. Were you saying that about Mason Mount pulling Kyle Walker's shirt? You weren't saying that. So I think, as I say, United got away with it. Bruno Fernandes up, bottom corner of the net. Dravga went the right way, but you know that Fernandes, when he missed it, he missed the penalty against, I think it was Chelsea a few seasons ago. And then he pretty much has scored. He was basically scoring penalty after penalty after penalty. Last season, his penalties were fantastic. Then he missed his first one this season against Fulham. He put the two away against Grimsby in the penalty shootout that he had. So, you know, you were pretty confident it was a winning facing us in the ground instead of watching the goal because it was at the end of the round, at the scoreboard end. And he put it away. And United scored out to be for the ref because it was a long delay with the VAR, etc. So he added what he should do. And you know, United got away with it at the major. I don't know if you watched it. He had his feet up, probably just hoping. But, you know, as I say, that there are question marks on the manager. And if he'd lost that game, it would have been unacceptable. Another unacceptable defeat. I mean, if they hadn't, it would have been unacceptable. You know, United at home, too early, newly promoted club. They fit the game off in the first half. And that's what United need to do. They need to get a position where, when they're creating these two seasons, which they are, they seem to be creating a lot more opportunities than they did last season. So that's coming together. But they need to put them away. There's no good in creating opportunities, not putting them away. The Arsenal game, everybody was not praising, but saying, oh, that was much better than what we saw last season. But they lost the game. They didn't win the game. They played better in mind the quality of the opposition that they had, Arsenal and Burnley. Probably better against Arsenal, but no points against Arsenal, 3 points against Burnley. And you could argue, although I think that this is sort of a scraping the barrel to some extent because of the standards and that United, unfortunately, have been put down to. 4 points for the first three matches isn't a disaster. It isn't, because Arsenal are looking to challenge for the title. Fulham away is always a difficult match. So, you know, a point, even though United tend to win there, a point there and then winning against Burnley. But it's how the matches have gone. Obviously, losing to Grimsby, unacceptable in the week. So that is sort of that. You look at that and you think to yourself, it's not good enough. But, you know, for 4 points, the next two matches, a difficult one, to be honest. I say difficult ones. Every match for Manchester United is difficult. It's quite interesting. You know, people was, you know, after the Arsenal game, I spoke about, yeah, we played quite well, but we lost. But let's see how we perform against Fulham. I think we did okay against Fulham. I think a draw was a fair result. And I think we held our own. We had opportunities again in the first half to maybe go to, you know, a couple of goals up. But then the game, it's a different game then. But United need to take those opportunities. You can see the manager is under pressure. That you know, he hasn't got universal fan support, and as I say, the Kobe Mainoo situation is not helpful in this regard. As I say, when you say that you can only get him, it's either him or Bruno Fernandes. That's not the right thing. That's not going to motivate a player to, because Bruno Fernandes never doesn't play. Eddie is the captain, so you know. And with United having only one game a week, there's not going to be, to be honest, there shouldn't be too much rotation, to be fair. But now we've got these injuries to Cunha, it looks like it'll be a few weeks at least, minimum. Mason Mount, we don't know. Sesko has to be starting now. He should be playing through that middle. He'll get a couple of games with Slovenian. In this international break, Mazraoui came back on late and he looked decent just coming back on. He was solid. So there's lots of work and things that need to be done. United do need a midfielder as well. But you know what? They have to get a goalkeeper. I'd actually like them to get two goalkeepers, to be perfectly honest, because Onana shouldn't play for this football club again. Yeah, Barnier isn't very good, but he's the best of what we got. People say, oh, we should stick in Tom Heaton. As I say, a 40-year-old who hasn't played for 2 years in the Premier League. Some people will say, well, what have you got to lose? And then he makes a cock-up because he's 40 and hasn't played in the Premier League. He shouldn't be at the club. He should not be at the club. He should be a younger goalkeeper coming in as third choice. And this is the problem. And as I say, if they can get this, they're talking about this Lemens deal. They need to try and get that over the line. I mean, I don't understand why they haven't done it already. As I say, and their financial issues. And the other issue, problem United have got, is injuries. If United start getting a number of injuries, they've got massive, massive problems. Even with one game a week. Cunha is out for a few weeks. Mason Mount, we don't know. You can't rely on him. I mean, Luke Shaw played 90 minutes today, but we have no idea if Luke Shaw's going to be fit by the time for the next game. So, you know, you've got players who are injury cuts, and you've got players who have been getting injured, and obviously they all go off for international break now, and they're going to be playing games, and you know, injuries can happen in that situation as well, and you know. you know, it's just fingers crossed for Manchester United. And the other thing is, financially, there are still issues. And maybe that's the reason they haven't jumped in and bought the goalkeeper. Remember, their points deductions in United ain't going to be in a position where they're maybe challenging further up the table. Any sort of points deduction is a massive problem for Manchester United. And, you know, as I say, the next two games, you know, games against two of the better side, you know, two of the sides you would expect to be challenging for the title this season in Manchester City and in Chelsea. And then after that, it's Brentford away and then Sunderland at home. But again, you cannot rely on Manchester United turning up and performing in those games. So, you know, it could be 4 points from 15 and then you go into Brentford. By the Boomer will get a welcome, I can expect. Although, to be fair, Brentford got the money they wanted and more out of Manchester United for that, because United don't know how to bid or negotiate properly, unfortunately. As I say, Jason Walker's done a reasonable job in the summer because we've got three good players in, but he's a novice player. Who have they sold? They've sold Garnacho now for 40 million, which is an underpayment, but there was a thought the manager didn't want him. There were issues around that. So we'll see what that is, and Garnacho will be back for Chelsea. So it'll be interesting to see if he dyes his hair blue. But lots of work and things to happen over the international break. The manager after Grimsby, we talked about the players. You can see exactly what the players think of what the tactics were, or what, you know, by that performance. Was it a motivation tactic? Or was it him say? And then he spoke about we'll sort it out in the international break. Or is it a case of he's had enough? And, you know, he's just thinking to himself that these players will get you the sack. That West Ham game before Erik ten Hag was sat, those players, an absolute disgrace. You know, and as I say, you do worry that Casemiro header. How has he hit the bar from there? Thinking, oh, I don't really want to score this goal because I don't like the manager. I mean, that's the thing. We've got Casemiro in our midfield and he can't even play 90 minutes. He's not up to it, basically, in the Premier League. You do worry, especially in that midfield too, where Bruno Fernandes is quite slow. You need a bit more dynamic player in there. And maybe you might start playing Bruno Fernandes and Kobbie Mainoo in there. We'll have to wait and see what happens. And as I say, next up, Derby Day in Manchester, DDIM on the 14th of September. City have already lost their first home match against Spurs, but then Spurs lost to Bournemouth. Fair play to Bournemouth. They could arguably have 7 points. They went to Liverpool, did well in the first game of the season, and now they've won their next two matches. From what I can gather, good football in that sphere. United have got themselves 4 points and they're worse than Bournemouth. They are. United are like, I think they were ninth when I last looked at the table, but they'll be the last teams to be playing in the next round of matches unless there's a Monday night game on the 15th. But lots of work to do. And victory that was 100% needed and needed to happen. But there's so many issues at that football club and things that the club have known about for ages and ages and ages and done absolutely nothing about. It's incompetence and it's criminal and you do worry. I'd be interested to see if we hear what PR comes out of this football club over the international break. They do like a little bit of that. But as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk. Up as various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, PCast, Listen Notes. Search MUFC Global and it will come up. As I say, next up is Derby Day in Manchester. The plan was actually to do this pod yesterday with Dennis, but Dennis didn't turn up. He didn't appear at the time that was needed. So I thought to myself, there's no point in the recording pod. Although I did see him later when he eventually deigned to turn up when we were out and about later on. Very nice of you, Dennis. But he will be back on. He might be back on possibly before the Chelsea game on the 20th if he actually turns up at the meeting point, which is his place, to be fair, but he just wasn't there at the time. He was getting his hair cut, although when I saw him, his hair looked suspiciously the same as the time I'd seen before. But anyway, so as always, thanks for listening, and I will be back after the derby in Manchester on the 14th of September. Yeah, we can have a nice relaxing couple of weeks, can we? As I say, the transfer window's open for another day, so that'll be 2 days of shambles. Get Lemens in. As I say, Lemens, I mean, a friend of mine, he messaged about the new Belgian keeper's going to have a tough time because it's going to be difficult coming straight in. But, you know, as long as he can do the basics of catch, save balls, physicality at corners. But it's a new league. We'll have to wait and see how things turn out. So, as always, thanks for listening. And we'll be back after the Derby Day in Manchester on the 14th of September.